CJRU, 1280 AM in Toronto.
In a world lost to ignorance and confusion, three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. This is episode 149, broadcasting to you live on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto and streaming to you live on the web at songtalk.ca/livestream. Also, if you're on Facebook, go to Facebook/Song Talk Radio, and you'll see that we are broadcasting on Facebook live video.
Yes.
For the next few minutes.
I hope.
Yeah, should be working. I think Vanessa's giving us a thumbs up that she's in there. All right.
Hi, Facebook right. friends.
Hello, Facebook and everybody out there. Song Talk Radio is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. Brand new songwriters or established professionals, and on the show we share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become a little bit better at writing songs. I'm your host, Neil Modi, and joining me tonight are the Fairweather Friends of the Song Talk Radio Action Team. Well, it's like 14 degrees outside.
We
have Barometer Bruce.
I am barometrically here.
At least you're not barometrically challenged.
No.
Forecast Phil.
That's me.
And handling a social media onslaught tonight, Visibility Vanessa.
Hey, Vanessa.
And last but not least, on the tech board tonight, Eddie Eton.
Hey.
Anyone wondering when Eddie is?
Eddie?
And Eddie is a weather system, that spins around, and if something's spinning the other way, you get a tornado. Yeah.
I love your themes.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people don't, but I love your themes.
Thank you very much.
We always learn something, right?
Yeah. All right. During the show, joining the conversation, send in your comments and questions to @SongTalkRadio on Twitter, and we'll share them in real time. And please stop by our website, songtalk.ca, find out how you can be a guest on this show. And tonight, we have Mr. Jordan Paul. Jordan Paul's sound has been described as if Queen, Mimicking Birds, Radiohead, and Led Zeppelin all had a beautiful love child. A clever songwriter at only 24, his writing and musicality is well beyond his years, and his voice is otherworldly. Paul's new single, Rain, is coming out on limited edition 7-inch vinyl from Lista Vol Records, featuring Andrew Scott of legendary Canadian band Sloan on drums.
Wow.
Welcome, Jordan.
Hey, Jordan.
Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for having me.
That's awesome. Sloan's one of my favorite bands. Andrew Scott's a wicked drummer.
Great. He's awesome. Yeah.
Neil's a drummer.
Yes.
Awesome.
So he'll be listening to that part.
But we listen to him anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're 24 and you're releasing on vinyl.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. See, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
This is just a question that, because I mean, you're referencing Queen and, well, Radiohead maybe not, but Led Zeppelin, all these bands that are, you know, like ancient, right? Or that are older. And which I think is very cool. And I've met a lot of young people that do, you know, listen to music from way back when, but I want to just pose the question, how important is it to you guys that young singer-songwriters sort of listen to, embrace, you know, the music of decades ago? Or because I remember when I was growing up, I listened to pretty much what was on the radio at the time, and I didn't get into the Beatles and older stuff until it was quite a lot older.
I think it's a circumstantial thing, because a lot of young people I've spoken to in the last few years, they said the good music is from the 70s.
That's what I'm hearing.
That there's a lot of good writing from then. I mean, when I was writing musical theater, I certainly referenced the stuff in the 40s and 50s because, you know, you hear from friends, they say, well, you know, you're working with a musician, they go, oh, you've got to listen to this if you want to know the best in this. And I think that's what's happening. Like my nieces and my nephew, they'd be saying, I say, why are you listening to CCR? Like, I didn't listen to that until I was like late. That's since the early 70s, right?
Yeah.
Well, Creedence is good music. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but let's ask Jordan, because he is a young person.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that quote actually comes from a review that I had done, but I do draw a lot of my influence from music of the 60s and 50s as well. Like, I'm a big fan of Roy Orbison and even Elvis and that stuff.
So who turned you on to that? Was it your friends, your parents, or just you?
I guess, in a way, I remember getting this briefcase from my dad that had a bunch of old R&B and rock and roll cassettes in it. And I remember listening to that to no end when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that might have had a lot to do with my influence there. But later
on... Yeah, because I think another thing is if you're going to be a... if you're going to be a songwriter, I think it's good to actually have some sense, even if you don't listen to it a lot, mm-hmm. of what came before, but also what's happening now. But also you want to have sense of what came before.
Yeah, and the opposite also applies. Those of us who are older tend to not listen to the stuff that's coming out these days. And there's plenty of great music out there today.
I'm up every night on Spotify just for hours, just trying to find the latest thing.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I do. I do. I listen at some of it. I go, eh. No, but at least I heard it. And I go, that sounded like another falsetto.
But there was
guy,
also a lot of music. I mean, like, it's very easy for, I think, for people to say, oh, you know, the 70s was great music. And I was actually reading something on Quora. And they sort of said, well, you know, take a look at the, you know, the top 100 from, like, 1970. Or something, and you know you had like David Bowie and some really great stuff, but you also had really you had a lot
of
one hit. You had like the disco version of Beethoven's Fifth.
Oh yeah,
you
had
a lot of novelty
stuff. I mean, so there's.
There's always
been a lot of crap.
Yeah, the good stuff gets remembered. I think.
Yeah, the good stuff they last.
But the era of the singer songwriter started, you know, around Dylan's time and went right through into the mid 70s, right?
Yeah,
so you had Paul Simon, you had Neil Young, you had Joni Mitchell, you had Carole King. The singer songwriter thing, the old troubadour type thing, which they're they basically call the late Leonard Cohen, they call him the great troubadour, right? Mm-hmm. So this is an old. We're back in England from hundreds of years ago of the traveling guy with his guitar or lute and just would go around and sing songs he wrote about what he felt and heard. And I don't think we've had a resurgence in the singer-songwriter since then. Of course, I'm not a musicologist, but there's a lot of reference there for a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think stuff gets cyclical too. You know, like, stuff is certainly getting kind of fancy and maybe but as one... using the phrase young people because that's kind of an insulting phrase, but someone who was younger, you know, in terms of, I guess, about 15, saying, you know, what happened to the angry, loud, you know, screaming youth? And they said, well, we've grown up with our whole lives hearing the word yes. You know, our parents didn't, you know, their parents are their best friends. They're not, it's hard to rebel against people who are your best friends, you know?
I suppose. But I mean, that was the case.
Do you mean they're functional families?
Yes, functional families.
That's no good for writing music.
Yeah. Well, that was the whole Rebel Without a Cause thing.
Jordan, when did you start writing? How young were you?
I guess I first started songwriting when a friend of mine and I, his older brother showed us this band, Saves the Day, and we decided we were gonna start playing music, so we... got at my guitar, and I'd been playing for a little while then.
What age were you then?
I think I was 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. I think 12 when I wrote my first full song.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant.
And you were in a band in high school, you said. That was a little later then.
Yeah, I was in a band for about 8 years, I guess, total, playing with the same guys, but the band went through some changes. And then,
that's amazing. 8 years? Like all through high school you stayed together?
Yeah, we started when we were... I guess we started playing out when we were about 13.
Nice.
And you were performing.
Right past high school, too.
Yeah, and we were having to get either lie or get our parents to sign something so we could play at bars when we were...
Yeah.
What was the name of the band?
Fairview was that
Fairview.
Band,
but, cool. Yeah. Was that because of the Fairview Mall?
No, we didn't. We were from... I guess we were living in Brockville.
Okay.
We didn't know about the Fairview Mall until everyone started saying, "Oh, is that because of the mall?" When we'd come out here.
Cool. Now, how are you writing when you're writing stuff? Like, how are you generating your ideas? Do you like write mostly on the guitar or?
A lot of the time, I start on the piano, but I've been finding myself writing on the guitar a lot more frequently.
Are you primarily a piano player?
I started playing piano. I feel like guitar's kind of taken over since then. Just. Out of convenience, really.
It's a lot easier to carry.
Yeah, take it around town.
So when you were in the bands and stuff, was it largely a collaborative effort, or were you the principal songwriter?
Yeah, it was definitely a collaborative effort. We all we would write songs, or I would do most of the songwriting and then come to the others, and they would all add in their piece as and we definitely came together on most of the songs.
Right on.
That's great, actually. It's it's hard to... Well, we were talking before the show about how hard it can be to actually find a band that works well together.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it was really fortunate that you were able to start off with something that was a very positive experience. You know?
Yeah, and since then, it's been hard to replicate. It's not something I've been able to do as of yet.
So. It's rare. It's rare that you'd all get – were there four of you in the band then?
Yeah, there were.
And you all stayed together at the same high school, obviously.
Yeah, sometimes we had different guitarists. Like we had a guy from Newmarket, another guy from Niagara Region, a guy from Ottawa. So we went through a few lead guitarists, but other than that
– You had your core group.
Yeah,
but you must have been able to really polish your performance with all that. That's a lot of practice, right?
Yeah, we got pretty good, and we had a house together for a while and did that thing.
Did you record at that time?
Yeah, we did. We recorded quite a bit just on our own and then with friends of ours who were running a home studio in Burlington.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So where do your ideas come from?
No, sorry.
No. Yeah. I didn't have anything.
Go ahead. He doesn't have anything. Well, we're just signaling here. Where do your ideas come from? Does it come from, say, you're on the subway or something and you suddenly occurs to you? Is it a song title or a riff or what?
Well, I find spending time in nature definitely is something that I draw inspiration from and I don't always get to do. But I find some of those ideas tend to get hauled up or stored in there and then come out at the same time. But I find inspiration a lot from just feelings, and I read a lot of spiritual songs. And
Yeah, I noticed that. You've actually recorded a lot of stuff, too, on your SoundCloud page. There's a lot of material there.
Yeah, there might be a fair amount. A lot of those are home recordings.
Really? Well, yeah, because most of even the home recordings are really well done.
Thank you.
You do your own engineering, then?
For most of those, yeah.
Okay.
So do you usually start with a lyric then, or do you usually start music?
Sometimes it comes as a bit of a package, but I find lately I've been picking up the guitar and I'll kind of play something that sounds nice and I'll get a vocal melody that comes to me as well, sort of a package, and then I kind of have to work out the kinks. And
Now, do you collaborate with many people? Or are you?
I do.
That's nice.
A lot of people, actually.
Yeah. How do you find the collaborations?
Oh, it's great. I'm actually going to this thing called Montreal Songworks. I leave tomorrow morning.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know too much about it at this point, but we're spending 4 days co-writing, being put into groups, and we're at a studio in Valcour, so it should be
Who's
really
sponsoring
nice.
That, Jordan?
It's through a few people. I think Jennison was one of the groups, and it was the Songwriters Association of Canada that tipped me off onto it.
Oh, the SAC. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you recommend joining that if you're a songwriter?
Absolutely. I've found a lot of opportunities through it. I found it to be really beneficial.
Yeah. In fact,
are you doing this full-time? Are you also going to school? Or
I'm doing this full-time.
Right. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. Sure. I mean, Patrick Ballantyne's actually the president of the SAC, I believe.
Oh.
So
he's was, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been on the show.
Awesome.
Yes, he has been. Okay, shall we hear a song?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so which song would you like to do first?
I'm going to play Rain.
Play Rain, okay.
Good. Okay. Jordan Paul, Rain.
I've got a secret. I think that I'll keep it all to myself. I'll tell no one else. I've been living in fiction, my own self-infliction keeps weighing me down. I fear I might drown in the in my head. Why
watch the world go on by through the
And that was
thank you guys.
That was Rain by Jordan Paul on Song Talk Radio with Bruce Neal and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. What a brilliant
what a
song.
Great song.
So beautiful.
Thank you.
It's got
haunting.
You know, the chorus is so different than the verse, but it doesn't sound out of place and it doesn't sound like stitched in. I mean, it's like a natural progression. It's such a neat thing because it's a hard thing to do. You know, it's
You turned around the standard thing, which is a verse is usually played down here, and then the chorus doesn't necessarily modulate, but it lifts. Yeah. And what you did is you had a really high, haunting, falsetto-y kind of verse, and then you went down another part of your voice.
Right.
You also went down to what, an A minor seventh?
Yeah. A minor.
Seven. Yeah. So it got really dark there, which was really cool contrast.
Oh, it's nice.
And the bridge you went into, where did you go in terms of chord progression?
D minor
in the bridge? Okay.
And then
what's the bass key of the song?
It's A minor.
A minor. A to the D minor.
What's so cool is that you only have the one word through your chorus. But it doesn't sound boring. I mean, because you've done so much melodically, and actually, even the way you hit the words. I mean, it grabs your attention.
Yeah, there's a lot of tension there, and there's a lot of. But I think what also helps is that the drop into the chorus is in the rain, or through the rain, and that actually gives it a little bit of that extra, just a little bit of context. To give it a tag on the way, and then you can repeat "Rain" as many times as you want.
It's also like for the songwriters, all you songwriter friends out there listening, is that for me, songs get interesting through their changes, right? So you've got a lyrically dense verse, and then you've got a lyrically light chorus, right? Mm-hmm. And also, it gives the listener a bit of a break. Because you've got this very intense thing, I get it all to myself, and I'm in my head, and disease, dead, and denied. It's pretty heavy verses, right? And then the chorus just comes in with this atmospheric, it's almost like U2, like you've got a feeling coming in of a wash of rain. Yeah. So you don't need to say much,
right?
Keep someone in that mood.
Correct me if I'm wrong, in the chorus you repeat rain 5 times, and there's a chord change every single time, isn't there?
There isn't. There's only 3 chords in the chorus.
Three chords
so it's
in the
A
chorus.
Minor, A minor 7, and then D.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which on your lyric sheet, which is up on, by the way, is up on our website, correct? You can be following along. You've got rain times 10, so you actually don't do 10. You do 10 times the word?
When I do it twice.
You do a set of 5 and then a set of 5.
5 and 5, right. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm actually going to the C now. I'm thinking of how I used to play it a different way, but
Because I'm thinking,
because
Bruce, what you were saying about changes, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you keep, like, to me, there are the many elements of what makes up the music. There's the lyrics, there's the melody, there's the chord pattern, there's the rhythm.
Yeah.
Right? And you've got to, when you talk about changes, you've got to change, say, 2 of them. Right, so in the chorus, he went lyrically very, very simple, but harmonically, harmonically more complex.
Down and dirty. Yeah, and harmonically complex. And then down in range, your vocal range went, oh,
And then it was the melodic center change, of course.
Well, and you've got like a lot of range, but you don't some people who have a lot of range kind of make sure that you know it in every song.
Right.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Can get kind of annoying. Well, you don't seem to do it. I mean, like, it definitely serves the song, which is such a
Why did you choose a waltz rhythm?
Not entirely sure. That was a song I came up with probably about 3 years ago. I had the initial idea.
Was it in 3/4?
And it was just, just sort of that. Boom, chicka, chicka, dun, chicka. Which is very. Yeah.
Which could be a dun, boom, dun, da, da, dun, da, da, dun. Yeah. Could be a polka.
Sure.
Right?
Because the kids love the polka.
Everything can be a polka, Bruce.
Boom, cha-cha. No, but the 3/4, we've talked a lot here about dark songs in a light style. Mm. So a lot of people do that. They'll say, okay, it's a very dark song, but I can't write it in a dark style because then it'll just be people want to jump off bridges when they listen to it, right? So you lift it either harmonically or melodically. You lift it a bit, right?
Interesting.
And I think the 3/4... Dun, 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 dun. Lightens it a bit, right? And also makes it kind of.
That.
It felt to me like one of those movies, like Edward Scissorhands, that it could be a song from that.
Yeah,
interesting.
Like, kind of creepy, but lyrically fun.
Yeah,
like a little flute in there.
Well, yeah, I mean, lyrically it's not fun.
I think Bruce is saying just from the rhythm of it.
Yeah,
the rhythm lightens it, so it's not deadly. It's almost kind of like. Makes it even more dramatic. Right?
I love the first line, the I've got a secret. I mean, I always felt that you always need a great opening line. And I think that just kind of...
It really pulls you in.
Yeah, you know, and that's what you want. That's a tough thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I like the rhyme between I've been living in fiction, my own self in fiction. Because this is really like a song about self-centered craziness, right? Or self-centered darkness.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
The person's trapped
inside
themselves.
The black dog or the,
We've all been there. It's kind of that depressive loop.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And pent up inside. And it doesn't really have a resolution, though. Like what sometimes, and if you're open to feedback or if you're exploring new things for the song, is you might want to... So your verses repeat a similar kind of message or story, right, in different ways. And you might think about bringing some resolution, even if there's no resolution, but say there's no resolution. Something like, you know, if only I could get out of this trap, but I don't think I can. That's why I look out and it's still rain, right? And the other thing you could do maybe I felt on the chorus was bring some melodic invention. Melodic variation to the rain,
because
did it change as it
oh,
each
yeah,
time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Each
every rain was a different note.
Yeah, every like in every performance was different.
Chorus.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll listen back because I didn't hear much a real difference. I heard like rain.
I had a very similar thought to what Bruce is talking about in that it is kind of dark, right?
Right.
And. But the metaphor you chose for the darkness is rain, right? And to me, I mean, rain also washes stuff away, right? So to me, there could have been an opportunity to take the rain and actually flip it the other way. And the spot that I thought that would work well for that was the bridge, because you go to that different key in the bridge, and that could have been a real opportunity to open the song up lyrically as well and kind of make it and spin it in the positive way. And I mean, the whole notion of washing something away. Kind of comes to
that
my
makes
mind,
sense.
Which would fit with the rain theme.
Are you?
Yeah,
I
don't know. Because I think it works really well as kind of it is. I mean, there is only two verses, so there's not much. Mm-hmm. But I think you know, because you've got like that repetitive rain. Like I don't think you know this is like one of those things where you can actually go too much.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I think like another verse would be too much, and I think another you know chorus would be too much. I think like you would because it's. It's kind of so perfectly constructed. I think you know.
Well, this happened to me years ago. I the song Caroline, which I've sung on the show, right? And I took it to a producer when I had first written it here in Toronto, and I ran it down for him. And it was about this woman who had lost a guy in Munich, and she was wanting to die and all that. And the ending was really down. It was really very negative, and it had no resolution. He said, asked me a very simple question. He said, is that your philosophy of life? Do you believe there's no resolution to these kind of circumstances? Mm-hmm. Is that what you believe? I said, no, not at all. So he said, well, try something a little different, right? And then I didn't make it Pollyanna at the end. I just said, you know, love will survive,
right?
And she will too, but it's still pretty awful, right? So I don't know. I'll ask you that question. So do you believe when someone's in this that they're just going to stay there and it's a matter of time, or they'll go right down the tubes, or?
I don't think of it that way. I think of it almost as a mood piece. So to me, it's that. About that tension. And I've also got a second piece that's on the vinyl that's an ambient song, and I'd almost consider it the resolution, or almost the rebirth that you were talking about. Okay. So the rain sound actually comes in, and I wish I had brought it in, but it's about 7 minutes long. So
I was listening to that, so that's really good, actually.
What's it called? This one's called Rain Part 2. It may not have been the one you heard, because I think it's a private track on my SoundCloud, but I will share it with you guys after.
Yeah,
and it's going to be on the vinyl.
Brainwashing?
It's got a cello in it. My friend Andrew Boudreau and I worked on that one. It's got cello, organ, and whatnot.
We got a tweet in from Heather. Now, she wanted another verse just because it was so beautiful.
Thank you, Heather.
I'll actually explain a little bit more what I was talking about. And the reason that that occurred to me is because musically you didn't introduce the bridge section, right? If you had gone verse rain, 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 verse rain, 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 that to me would have been. Okay, this is a very tightly focused idea.
Right.
It's one thing, and just kind of let it be, right? Mm-hmm. But as soon as you decided to introduce a bridge, that to me signifies, especially with such a – it was a bit of a dramatic musical shift, right? Mm-hmm. That to me signified, okay, this is an opportunity to kind of bring a different spin to it.
But he wrote another verse and put it against a bridge melody, I mean. It's actually another verse is what you're saying on the bridge.
No, the bridge is a bridge.
Lyrically.
The bridge
is a bridge. No, I'm saying lyrically. You're saying there's no progress.
Lyrically, you just put another verse in there.
Yeah. But that a bridge doesn't always have to be the 30,000-foot view of the song, but it often is, right?
Yeah.
It often is the breathing room, and it takes you to the chorus that you really are desiring to hear strongly, right? Because you want to hear the hook again.
And I think that's always the tough thing, because you're always – you know, we've talked about this, whether or not you should – give the listener what they want, or kind of hold back a bit. You know, it's always, you know, how much, you know, whether it's too long or too short, that's always a razor's edge to figure out, I think.
Yeah, and this isn't a particularly long song, necessarily.
No.
It does have two verses, two long, the choruses are just as long as the verses, I think, like in terms of seconds.
Yeah.
and then the bridge and then the chorus, but it probably clocks in. Was it clocking on your SoundCloud? 3 minutes?
Yeah, just over 3 minutes. Yeah.
And when you do it with a band, have you done it with a band?
I have, yeah.
And what sort of instruments, what kind of effects do you bring in?
Typically, just we'll do
electric
guitar, bass, drums kind of thing.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Because this is one that could really use some toms and some kind of darkness in the drumming,
right?
Could really hammer it home, especially that 3-4 thing.
And the chorus is so catchy, though, which is so interesting, even though you only have the one word.
It's unreal.
The whole thing is just filled with...
I was on my way down because I listened to the songs this afternoon.
Right.
On my way down, the chorus was going through my head the whole time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then it started raining.
And then, subconsciously, I wasn't going to wear my raincoat today, but actually, who knows?
That's true.
Oh.
You never know.
You may have triggered...
There's a tie-in for you there. You could tie-in to raincoat sales.
Now, was this a hard song to write, or was it...
This one just kind of came out, and then it was a couple years of tweaking it.
So you do go over and you tweak stuff?
I do, yeah. This one especially, because I knew this one was – I really liked this song, and it was near and dear to me, so I spent a lot of time on it.
Do you remember what the tweaks were?
Yeah, I had changed quite a bit. The bridge was actually new, and the bridge actually used to be a third verse.
Plot thickens.
So why did you decide?
Why'd you bridgeify it?
You just wanted to change.
Added
it,
some movement and
I've
been totally talking to some other writers. And
Do you play your stuff to other writers?
I do. Yeah. Pretty often.
That's great. And how do you do? Do you, is it through the SAC or?
Through that and just through my peers and friends and people I've met.
Okay. Do you gig in Toronto?
I do. Yeah.
Where do you usually play?
All over, but I'm playing December 8th over at 120 Diner.
Oh,
I think that's not too far from here.
120 Diner.
Yes, it's a fairly new spot.
Where is it? On College? Dundas?
It's on the East End. I
Google it.
I can't say for sure.
Okay, 120 Diner, folks.
December the 8th. And okay. That's a songwriter circle.
Oh, okay. Oh, are you aware of the Songwriters Cafe
yes,
circle
it is.
That we have?
No, okay. I don't believe so.
Well, speaking of which,
I think Phil's going to talk about that.
Well, that's true, because those of you just joining us, you were listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce Neal and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto and streamed live to you on songtalk.ca/livestream. Tonight, our guest is the incredible Jordan Paul.
He is.
Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so please send us your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio on Twitter or via email at feedback@songtalk.ca, and we will share your thoughts in real time, and you can be famous just like us. And if you you can always find the links to all the products and services we mention on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And coming up on Song Talk Radio in the next few weeks, we have Melanie Peterson coming in next week, December 6th. And on the 13th, we have Piper Hayes, who's I think she's on tour. She's quite Excellent. Incredible.
She's from Vancouver, right?
Yes, yes. And I think December 20th, which is our last show of the year.
Yes, it is.
It is. Mm. Will be Sherry Jacobs. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us for the next Songwriters Roundtable meetup on Thursday, December 15th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transat Club. It's free to join on meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details. And we actually had one
just on
this Sunday.
Yeah, and it was a packed house.
35 people. There was so much talent there. It was incredible.
And
so
what a great
turnout. It was so eclectic. There was so much variety.
And we had a guy who did sort of that kind of really cool space rap.
I don't know what you call it. Ambient space.
We had the guy doing the Stevie Wonder type stuff.
Oh,
really
well. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was the
120 Diner, that's on Church Street. That's the one you played at.
Yeah.
Church in Richmond. Which was the one that you guys played at?
Cavern.
The Cavern. Oh, okay. So 120 Diner, that's 120 Church Street, just south of Richmond. Around.
Just to let you know.
But just getting back to the
meetup?
To the meetup.
Yeah, sure.
We had lots of people there. And actually, we only have 12 spots open for people to share their songs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually filled up by like 105.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you're going to come out to the meetup, and you should, because it's an amazing people, get there early so you can sign up.
Yeah. And the feedback from the group is really always very supportive and very constructive.
That's a great song.
Like people actually, that's sort of like what we do here.
That sounds awesome.
They dive a little bit deep.
it was really good. It was very full. So if we have days like that, we'll need to.
I think you'd like it, Jordan. It's really fun, and there's so many different levels of knowledge in the room. Like you have people who are like really good producers, and then you have other people who are just starting out.
That's nice.
And different genres. Yeah.
And people who are just lyricists or just musicians, and they're looking for collaborators.
Yeah.
And
it sounds like you've got a similar thing happening over at 120 Diner then on December the
8th. Yeah, it's my first. I've attended one of those ones, but I haven't played yet. But this sounds really great. I wish I had known about the other one, but I'll try to come
now
to the next.
So what?
December 15th.
Do you know what time you're starting on the 8th? Does it start at 9 or 8 or something?
I think doors are at 8:30 or so, but don't quote me on that one.
Like
it'll
one
be on my website.
Do you play one song or like a bunch of songs? Or
I'm not entirely sure of the exact format, but I think it's a few songs in the round.
Oh, okay. So it's a traditional, I think.
Nashville style.
Where they just sort of sit around and everyone plays a few songs. Yeah. Whereas the meetup is you just play one song.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Are you doing a gig with a band or anything, or a solo spot coming up soon before Christmas? You can want to talk about it?
Before Christmas, nothing booked as of yet.
Okay.
But on my website, jordanpaul.ca, I'm always posting them.
Oh, cool. Okay, great.
And we'll certainly link to that from our show posting.
Yes.
Great.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Shall we do another song, Jordan?
Absolutely.
Okay, this one's called Archetype X.
And do you want to say something about the song before you start, or should we just want to just go into it?
Sure. This song is about it's just about getting caught up in the material world and being able to examine that and hopefully live in the moment and rise above it, I suppose.
How's your tuning here? Is it tuning? Yeah. Tuning is holding?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good guitars hold their tune.
Yeah.
It's a rental.
Yeah.
Oh. Stairway to Heaven. I heard in there a little bit. Yeah, great ending there. And yeah. That was Archetype X, and you're listening to Jordan Paul. And you're also listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM on your AM dial.
In Toronto.
In Toronto. We always must say it's in Toronto, of course. We are not the center of the universe.
There are AM dials all over the place.
Yeah, and because we're streaming, you may be listening to us in, I don't know, Kazakhstan, for
That's
example.
True, possibly.
Yeah.
That's right. Or in Jordan.
That's Neil, true. Neil, what did you think of that tune? Because I think it was awesome.
I thought it was, I thought it was really great.
Thank you.
I like the changes. I really like the change at the pre-chorus.
Yes,
that is so.
What chord was that? Yeah.
That's a G.
That's just a G.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, where did you start on the verse?
Yeah, D. It's just D, G, D throughout the verse.
Yeah.
But your voicings were different. You were up the fret a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
I think okay. So. It's.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a G moved up a bit, right?
Mm-hmm. And then the chorus, it goes to an A major.
Now, and that's a standard tuning. You're not doing like it almost sounds like you're doing like an open tuning. But
so
it's not.
Yeah, got, it sounded like I've a got the tuning. E drop down to a D.
Uh-huh.
So
it's your, uh-huh. Was it then? That was the way it was on the song before.
Okay. No, it was in standard. I tuned it.
Oh, it's in standard.
In
wow.
He was retuning. That. We didn't even know it.
Wow, what a play!
He's fast.
What an interesting song, though. Like Archetype X.
What
like,
the
it's not,
heck is that?
It's not something you think. Boy, what a singable word.
Yeah,
<You know?
laughs> yeah, true that. That's, true that.
Like it sounds like maybe like a online game,
yeah.
Or something. Like where did Archetype X come from?
It came, I guess, just because X is usually a variable in things like mathematics, or we all take on these different archetypes instead of, you know, our true selves or
personas. Whatever.
Yeah, so I think
that's your word for a persona. Putting on a type of character or personality.
I think an archetype is suitable for that. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it works.
Yeah, no, it's great. Well, certainly, I don't think I've ever actually heard a song that uses the word archetype. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's great. But it actually sounds so singable when you handle it, which is amazing. Like, if you looked at it, like, if someone sort of showed me this song, I would go, well, I don't know, that's kind of a...
How are you going to sing that?
Who's Denna? What does Denna mean?
That one is actually a reference to Name of the Wind, which is... there's a series of books called the Kingkiller Chronicles. It's a fantasy.
Okay.
But it's written by this author, Patrick Rothfuss. And
Denna stands for the wind?
Denna is, I guess, the main character's love interest.
Mm-hmm.
And she sort of embodied this sort of character to me and a character that we all find within ourselves.
Right. Our inner
so
Denna?
I suppose you can
and
say
that. And what is
that
archetype? What's Denna's archetype?
She was just a character who, you know, uses her, you know, she's very into material things and uses sort of her material things to, I guess...
get more material things?
Yeah, or at least put herself in a strategic position for power or whatever else.
So you're not for or against materialism in this song. You're neutral? You're just talking about it as an option?
Well, he does say your mask will fade, the truth uncovered at one point. That sounds pretty anti... anti-something. I'm not really sure.
Do you have a point? I want to look at your intention for the song and see if the result matches. Sometimes
right,
people have an
intention.
The
idea is that... you know, we can't take these things with us, and the important things are always going to be there, and we're okay now, rather than chasing something that may not exist or won't always be there.
Okay,
I'm actually wondering why you started the verses and the choruses with the same line.
It's an interesting approach.
Right.
Yeah. It's a different approach,
but it's really interesting. But it still sounded like a chorus.
I think it sounded less like a chorus just because of that.
Okay.
Yeah, for me it did too. But
it sounded less like a chorus.
Obviously, it was a conscious choice. It wasn't a mistake.
Oh no!
So what was your choice there? What were you thinking there?
Not necessarily a choice. I just liked it that way.
So you just you go with your gut more and say it's okay to start a chorus the way I started the verse. There's no rules. I'll try this and then.
Yeah, I think so. I like it that way. I mean,
yeah.
It may change.
More. You brought a little more power to the vocals on your chorus and a little bit of a change up in the melody, obviously.
Yeah, you really felt it. I love the...
I liked your dynamics.
You have your... it's really neat, kind of a reflection of the line, like your pre-chorus. You know, all your streets are paved with gold. How will you look when you've grown old? I just love the fact that they... You know, you had the same kind of rhyme scheme on those two.
I like that too. When
I mean, that's such a songwriter crafty thing.
And for those listeners who want to listen to someone who's using dynamics really exceptionally well, Jordan, I thought you did in that song. That's part performance and part the way you've written it to have those dynamics.
Right.
But you notice there was a huge drop at the end of the first chorus. I want to know your truth. And then it suddenly went way down. Mm-hmm. There was actually – and then there was an actual tacit after the last pre-chorus before you went into the chorus. So – and I really loved what you're doing the very end.
Oh, that was
you
wicked.
Took those slides and you were doing the wiggling of the chords.
And the little walk-up thing.
What do you call it when you move the
– Vibrato?
Yeah, a little vibrato and some slide on a couple interesting notes. I was doodling around on the guitar one time years ago, and I just put two fingers – on and started sliding them around. Actually, it was one finger with finger picking, and I created a whole song out of it because it was oh, that's intriguing.
And
I'll play it for you one time, Phil.
And actually, you speaking of dynamics, you did the same thing with Rain and with this one where it's kind of a simple thing, but you're finger picking in the verse and then in the chorus strumming full, and that helps.
It really does, yeah. I mean, you certainly are able to, because I've you know, we've heard the recorded versions of these songs, which are certainly wonderfully produced. And who produced those?
I guess I produced both of them, technically.
Wow, really
well done.
But, like, they sounded, like, great with a full band, but, I mean, it didn't sound, like, the guitar version didn't sound stripped down. It didn't seem empty.
No, because you've got all those interesting arrangement ideas embedded in the guitar playing, which is really cool.
He's been playing since he was 13.
Now, you started playing piano, though, at 13, right?
A little bit younger.
He's in a band. You're in a band, at 14 or something.
Right. But he's doing it, like, 16 hours a day.
No, but how long have you been playing guitar, though?
For about 10 or 11 years.
Oh, so about the same time, right?
11 years. And then I've been playing piano since before that. I think I was...
Did you ever go to the Royal Conservatory and stuff?
I did a bit, but I ended up doing it kind of in a non-traditional way, still doing the levels. But
That's the best way of doing it, actually.
Do you ever use keyboard in performance?
I do. Not as often as I'd like to, but I do.
Because there's not often a piano there. Like, you have to bring your own keyboard and all that.
Yeah, I do have a setup that I bring with a small keyboard and stuff, but...
Right. Yeah, because your guitar arrangements are really interesting because it's – maybe you're doing this unconsciously, but there seems to be a particular attention to what that top note is. You know, like, there's actually kind of a melody developing just within that. You know, as opposed to, you know, just doing block chords.
Like, right.
There's an interesting arrangement there.
You're certainly the guitar playing is – I mean, it's actually – you know, you're a really good guitar player, and it's really clear that – I mean, you've thought a lot about, you know, how the parts – work together and they move through the song.
Right.
You know, like it's a really polished performance.
You also know, and when you watch this, folks, on YouTube, when you see what he's doing there, you have a really exceptional ability to focus in on the tune and to grab the emotional center of it. You don't really care what you look like. Like, a lot of people, oh, there's a camera, I want to look like a good performer. like some pop stars where they stand in front of the mirror, how do I look? When you play, it's totally from the soul. Your eyes close, you go right deep, and you're committed to the sound, which when you listen to it, you can tell. That you're there, you're focused, right? That's a good
tip.
That's
what it's all about.
Really, what is it all about? What do you mean?
To me, for me, songwriting is very therapeutic. Jeez. Songwriting is very therapeutic, so it's something I do, you know, usually when I'm not feeling too great, I like to perform and write and listen to music, and it's music that brings me out of, you know, sad times or... Mm-hmm.
So do you actually go through, like, writing hiatuses, or are you a pretty consistent, prolific writer?
I like to be consistent, and I'd like to say I was, but I find, it's sort of, it's on and off a lot. A lot of the time, many songs will come at once.
Right, and then not for a while.
Then there's a dry period.
Are you working, every day, songwriting?
I'm songwriting every day, among the other business stuff, but...
Yeah, which needs to be done,
I do a lot of ambient film score and TV placement stuff as well.
Oh, great. Have you had stuff placed on TV?
Yeah, I've done
fantastic.
Few things. Yeah.
Wow, do any shows that we'd be familiar with?
My old band had a song placed on... The Secret Circle.
Cool.
And I've been working on a couple smaller shows around town now.
That's fantastic.
When Paintings Come Alive.
Oh, wow. Someone,
it's kind of silly.
Do you believe that the great songs only come out of the times when you're really down and struggling and in conflict? Or can you, let me just ask you, is that where the real songwriting comes when you as a person are struggling?
I think it depends on the song. Personally, sometimes that's where my best work comes from, but I don't know that that's the golden rule.
I'm asking about you. About you. So when you're happy, you can still write a song that is.
I think so, but it's a different type of song, and I find it difficult to write songs that are happy, even when I'm feeling happy.
It is a different thing, actually.
And not have it come off as fake.
Yeah, because, Elvis Costello said that he realized that he had to stop purposely screwing up his life because he found he wrote better songs when he was in turmoil.
Right.
And I think when you're sort of embraced in, emotional turmoil and you're frustrated, it's a lot easier, I think, to kind of focus on it and try to get these emotions out. Mm-hmm. Where stuff is going pretty well, it's hard to kind of get the same level of depth and attention, I think.
I think it's the same myth, though, that, there was this great myth decades ago, or I guess forever, that if you're going to be creative, you have to drink a lot or smoke a lot or do a lot and have this life that falls apart. And then I read this book called The Artist's Way. Years ago, and this was a woman who, Julia Cameron, who was a recovering alcoholic, and she was also a Hollywood screenwriter, and she said, that is just BS. The ones who really last in the business are the ones who do not have those problems, because those problems will take you down, right? It may help you loosen up to have a couple drinks, but the ones who really survive, like Elton John, Ringo Starr, all these people have gotten straight. You know, they. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're dead at 26 or whatever it is. You're 28. Yeah. So I think that myth needs to be exploded. You can have a healthy life and a happy life and have a family and still write really great music.
I don't think that's quite as the idea of being the sort of drug induced debauchery. I think that's less likely, less sort of common than it was back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Like in the 60s and 70s, that was really, common. And
There's probably other vices to pursue nowadays.
But I think there's still that myth that the suffering artist, right? Well, if you're going to be a serious artist and do it your whole life, you have to show up like you do a job.
Oh,
you have to write every day.
Work.
Then you have to get on the phone with your agent or your manager and
book gigs.
You have to do the work, right?
Sure.
It's the music business.
Well, I want to ask you something, Jordan, just very quickly. I think you touched on this earlier, but do you have many songs that just sort of pour out of you when they're done, or do you always go back and edit?
Usually it sort of comes out in one spurt, and then I'll have to go back and edit. But I'll always edit.
You'll never just have it come out at once and it's done and that's it.
Not unless it's just some sort of pastiche or something I'm going to throw on an album as, almost just a movement or...
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Now, how are you, just the actual technique, how are you capturing your ideas? Are you writing them down on a piece of paper? Do you put them into a phone or do you just...
A little bit of both. I usually always have a pen and a paper, carry a notebook with me, and I'll use my voice recorder on my phone as well. Get the idea down once I get an instrument in my hand.
Yeah.
Right. And then you go back over your recordings on your phone at some point.
Yeah, and then
shortly thereafter.
and then I'll take it onto my computer and
Because
I was doing the thing where I was actually writing down all my musical ideas or more lyrical ideas on a piece of paper, but then I realized I actually never went back and looked at them.
Yeah,
three years later and you're going, did I write this?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, I've got that problem too.
It's all right to have more ideas than you need. I want to ask you a quick question, Jordan, about many people have come in here and they've said that they purposely pick up an instrument they're not as good at as their basic instrument or as their home instrument.
Right.
And that brings out a whole different side and a whole different style and sometimes a whole different feel. Do you switch back and forth between piano and guitar to start songs
for
that reason?
Yeah, I find not necessarily consciously for that reason, but I find sometimes breaking your habits or getting out of the norm can really create.
So the sitar, you're trying the sitar now. So have you written on the sitar yet?
I have, but most of what I'm doing with that is either I'm writing more ambient pieces or sort of rog type pieces.
With no lyric, you mean?
Right. Well, sometimes with a lyric, but I'm also using it as an additional instrument on, some of the pieces I played tonight, for instance.
Yeah. Next time I'd like you to come back on sometime and actually talk about your ambient stuff. Because I listen to a lot of ambient music and I love it.
That'd be great.
And I've tried to actually write that stuff on my own and
it's
very difficult.
It's hard to be that calm.
Well, maybe that's it. Well, because my problem is that you just kind of, I'm so used to, time for a chorus.
Right. You need that change.
I love to kind of get into that, actually exploring that. Because some of the stuff is great, but it's just hard to...
So what does that mean to you, Jordan, ambient? What's your take on that?
I think it's about creating a mood, music that's creating a mood or often is meditative. And for me, I like the more, you know, transcendental stuff. And
Did you ever listen to any when George Harrison picked up the sitar, middle of the Beatles career?
Definitely, yeah.
You've heard some of that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And Ravi
Shankar,
I'm a
huge Beatles fan. And, yeah, I do really like Ravi Shankar as well.
Right.
The Chance of India album that they did together is really nice.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with the Beatles. They're certainly I would say they're the Bach of the rock world. You know,
yeah. Well, for songwriting, they're just so prolific.
Just,
you
go back
and
read
their
stuff and pick apart their songs. You'll learn so much.
Yeah, she really could. You know, it's they're definitely geniuses at what they do. So what's next coming up for you?
Got this songwriting camp in Montreal, and then
how long is that?
It's until December 5th. I'll be coming home. I leave tomorrow, and then
it's a week.
Oh, it's a pretty good week.
Yeah, and then I'm heading to Texas in January for the Texas Songwriter Symposium.
Oh, wow!
Wow!
And I'll be showcasing there. Nice. So that's in January.
What about Nashville? Have you had a drop in there yet?
No, I've not done the Nashville thing. So
I think you're ready.
It's on the list, isn't it?
I think you're ready to play around. You know, there is a group called Nashville North, and they're a club kind of here in Toronto. And they
it's like a local chapter.
A local chapter.
Nashville North, I think, yeah.
Yeah, they go back and forth.
Yeah.
And they get demos done down there. But apparently you can arrive, and apparently there is a place there that you can stay at that's sponsored by the
SoCan
Canadian government.
Yeah, I know SoCan has a house there.
SoCan House, yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be a great step for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we're just about out of time, though.
But how do people get more of your music?
JordanPaul.ca, and I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere else as Jordan Paul Music.
Is your stuff available on iTunes?
Yep, I've got a few songs on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere there's music.
That's
wherever quality music is streamed.
Is streamed and sold and listened to. Okay, yeah, that is about all the time we have. So that's it for Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. Thank you to our guest, Jordan Paul. That was
amazing stuff.
Thanks for having me.
Great songs.
Please send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio, email feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook and YouTube, Song Talk Radio, or stop by the site songtalk.ca. Also, subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes at songtalk.ca/iTunes, and don't forget to sign up for a free newsletter at songtalk.ca, which is coming out very shortly. Yes, Phil?
Yes,
you've been saying that for weeks.
But now it's actually happening.
Okay.
And you can also find
links. It's worth the wait.
It is.
It's actually written.
You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And once again, if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable Meetup, Thursday, December 15th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transact Club. It's free to join on Meetup and free to attend the roundtable. It's great fun. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup.
It's near Bathurst and Bloor for those who live in the West End.
Yeah, in the annex. And you can check out, they've totally remodeled Bathurst Station with all the Honest Ed's.
That is so cool.
So at the very least, go check that out. Yeah. We'd like to thank CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto for putting up with us. Our station's technical officer, Michael Newton, and program director, Alyssa Matthews. We'd like to thank Vanessa Vreeland for so deftly handling
our
social media channels.
She tweeted.
She's my
hero. She tweeted and she did the Facebook Live thing.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, and thanks to Eitan Ryan for doing the tech.
Yay.
Thank you, Eitan.
You're up.
And most of all, we'd like to thank you, the home listener. If you're on Twitter, you can follow Phil.
At the Phil Emery.
Follow Bruce.
Bruce Harrett.
You can follow Vanessa.
@Sunny_Vanessa.
And you can follow Eitan.
@Tony_R.
And you can follow Jordan at
Jordan Paul Music.
And
Jordan
you can Paul follow Music. Myself, Neil, at Mondo Art. And please stop by the website, songtalk.ca. Browse past shows. We've got almost, next week is 150.
Yay!
Woo! Awesome.
Wow.
Check it out.
I'll bring cake.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. And browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest on the show. That's all, folks. Tune in next week, same song time, same song channel.
Good night, everyone.
Night.